You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm, so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, I'll have a conversation with a couple of people in the food world I think you'll want to hear from. They are the owners of Adair Concepts, the restaurant group behind Adair Kitchen, Bebidas, Los Tios, a couple others that we'll talk about over the course of the next 30 minutes or so. Let me introduce y'all separately so people can hear your voices. Nick Adair, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be here.
Katie Barnhart, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So it occurs to me that you guys have never been on the show before, which I almost can't believe it because I met y'all like in either 2012 or 2013 when you opened the first Adair Kitchen in, not Briar Grove.
Tanglewood. Yeah, 2012.
Tanglewood. Yes, thank you, Tanglewood. So this has been a long time coming, but just kind of tell people a little bit about your background because you're a family owned business and your dad Gary was involved with the restaurants for a long time. So just say a little bit kind of how you kind of grew up in the business and decided that as adults this is something you wanted to stay involved with.
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. We'd probably tell the story a little differently. But I kind of always knew in some form or fashion that I would go into the restaurant business. Both Katie and I grew up, obviously, in a restaurant family. Our summer jobs were always in our dad's restaurants. He had Skeeters and then in 2000 bought Los Tios. But I think we both, grew up as cashiers or busboys or dishwashers and spent a lot of time in the restaurants as children. Me personally, I always in the back of my head knew that I wanted to go do that. It was sort of what I knew, but I loved it as well. After I graduated college, I went and started working for my dad full time, and I was on the Skeeter side of things. And again, this is a long story and I won't take all the time on it, but Katie had been living in California at the time. And so I'd been working for my dad for a handful of years. She came back from California at that time. I think it was sort of the start of the kind of farm to table, healthier, fresher, kind of all of that working its way into Houston. And she sort of came back with this idea for what's now Adair Kitchen and sort of presented it to all of us. And where my dad was in kind of his career at the time was kind of, I think, starting to plot his way out in his kind of retirement. And so he said it sounded great, but he, really sort of pushed us to go do it ourselves. And so that was in 2012, and Katie and I opened Adair Kitchen. And luckily that was received really well from the jump, and it allowed us to kind of then go do some other concepts, Bebidas, Eloise Nichols. And we went sort of that route while my dad still had Los Tios and Skeeters. And then, fast forward probably another 5 years, we formed Adair Concepts and kind of pushed all the restaurants together. And then from there, just started growing that way. So under one umbrella instead of kind of two sides of the same business.
Yeah, Katie, kind of talk about, from your perspective, why you wanted to kind of get in on the family business and maybe use that as a jumping off point for Adair Kitchen, because it is so different than Skeeters, right? Skeeters is, kind of, I would call it kind of Texas comfort food, burgers, tacos, maybe a chicken fried steak, and then you know, right. Their kitchen's a little fresher, a little more vegetable focused.
Definitely. We, you know, Nick gave the history pretty well. The only thing that was different about my path versus Nick's is when I got out of school, started working for a graphic design firm and started doing the graphics for my dad's restaurants and menu design, and kind of got a toe in with doing more of the creative side of the restaurant business with him. And anyway, my husband went to business school in Palo Alto, so we moved out to California, and that was really my first exposure to just kind of the entire movement that California is so famous for, just really fresh produce, healthier eating. I think what was novel at the time, at least in Houston, is that not a lot of people were doing kind of that type of food in a counter service model. So in a lot of ways, we had experience with Skeeters, with counter service and kind of operations based business, as opposed to more chef driven business. So it was kind of fun. Cafe Express really is like what comes to mind as the only people that were really kind of doing anything like that at the time. And they were so successful. They had lines out the door all the time. So we really kind of started out with just this idea of could we marry the two? Could we kind of bring that California produce culture, fresh, simple ingredients, and marry it with kind of what people were getting out of a counter service restaurant in Houston at the time, which tended more towards, like you said, kind of more comfort food. So that was kind of our goal, and that's where we started. And Nick and I, are about 3 years apart in age, and obviously have spent our lives alongside each other and had kind of an easy partnership from the get-go, because we both kind of came at the restaurant from a different perspective. Nick does all the hard stuff and I do all the fun stuff, and that's how we've kept it for 12 years.
Yeah. So, I have to say, I'm always impressed when husbands and wives work together at restaurants. I'm doubly impressed when siblings work together, because I have two younger sisters who I love very much and would never, ever under any circumstances want to work with day to day.
I don't know. I think it's funny because your sibling is kind of the only person, including spouses, that you're allowed to like fight with all the time and then just move on from. So we got in so many fights, we still do, but Nick's wife and my husband always laugh that we can get in like the biggest fight ever and then be over it in an hour. So it's just years of practice, I guess, having a lot of time to vet out differences in opinion.
All right. Well, I want to kind of fast forward the timeline a little bit. Obviously, the original location of Adair Kitchen did very well. You have Eloise Nichols that you opened in River Oaks District a few years ago, but you know, it seems like you kind of took a step forward a couple of years ago when you opened a second location, well, I guess technically a third location of Adair Kitchen in West U alongside kind of a bigger, better, fancier Los Tios. And so, you know, talk about kind of that decision to take that on and tell me a little bit about how it's going.
Great. So we actually were... I'm trying to think of where to dive in here. So the Los Tios that you're talking about was formerly a Buca di Beppo. And I live in West U, and we all grew up eating at the Molinas. It was right across the street there that did so well for so long. And I've always loved that Buca di Beppo site. And anyway, I got a call from Edens as the developer of this shopping center. And they, where the Adair Kitchen is now, was a Vietnamese restaurant. And they were calling to inquire if we wanted to put an Adair Kitchen here. My answer was, this is right before COVID. So we had just kind of gotten into the conversation. But basically, I was like, I would love to do an Adair Kitchen there if you'll let us have the Buca di Beppo site for a Los Tios. And then COVID hit and sort of fell off the table. And luckily, when everybody sort of came out of COVID, we were able to pick the conversation back up. But that's kind of how it happened. It was, we love the Buca di Beppo site. This site where the Adair Kitchen is more interior in the shopping center and probably on paper, not quite as desirable as the corner space. But because we were able to to get the Buca site, we were happy to jump in with an 8-air kitchen here. For a long time, Katie and I both sort of, I don't know if we're afraid or hesitant to do another 8-air kitchen just because the first one had so much of its own personality. And it was just sort of always our plan to just have it as a one-off. And just replicating that, we always knew would be a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, what we try to do with all of our restaurants is really, you know, I think what we do well is connect with neighborhoods, and we're community restaurants. That's where we start. We like to find places in neighborhoods that we know, and we want to be there for a long, long time. And West Dew was that. We knew the market well over here, and you know, both locations have been great. And we got the Los Tios opened last year. The 8-air kitchen was opened about a year before that. And yeah, they've both been great.
I think it's remiss in not noting that it was a big step up, but it wasn't really enabled by success we had doing a Los Tios next to 8-air kitchen on San Felipe. That one actually came first. And that was kind of a really big step change for us as a company, because it was right when, as Nick mentioned earlier, we combined forces with my dad's restaurants. And we, for the first time, opened together, my dad, Nick, and I, and Nick and I's side of the business alongside my dad's a Los Tios together, and kind of took, you know, Los Tios is a brand that's been in Houston since 1970. And that San Felipe Los Tios kind of took us to a new level as a company, because we were all working together for the first time. And then additionally, it was kind of, I feel like we were able to put kind of Nick and I's younger generation stamp on an old brand and kind of bring it to the forefront. And that was a huge step for us, which then enabled us to come into West Dew and try to replicate the success we'd have had in Tanglewood.
And just operationally, having them right next to each other is, you know, there's lots of benefits with that. That just kind of energy wise, they can feed off of each other, all of that. So it worked on San Felipe, and yeah, we were anxious to give it a try over here.
Great here too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, I happened to be in that shopping center last Friday night, having dinner at Craft Pita, and I saw what looked like people kind of standing out in front of 8-air kitchen. I mean, the entire parking lot, like almost all the way to the Kroger, was full. And I feel like, you know, that was mostly people going to your restaurant. So it looks, from the outside, it looks like it's going really well.
Thank you. It's nice of you to say. We've appreciated just the local support of the neighborhood. And I think Nick said it really well, just like, that's really our goal, is just kind of feeling the need of the problem in a neighborhood. What does it need? What is it missing? And then going in kind of trying to do just that and nothing more. I think we like really put a lot of emphasis on making sure the people that live in the neighborhoods that our stores facilitate are happy, and we're giving them kind of what they're looking for. And whether that's like never changing a recipe from 1970, or just kind of trying to be amenable to families and gatherings and that kind of stuff, we put as much emphasis on that as we do our culinary programs. And I think the neighborhoods have been really supportive, and we're very grateful for that.
Well, and say a little more about kind of updating Los Tios, because it is that kind of old school place, but you know, the era of, you know, cheese enchiladas with chili gravy, or, you know, the queso puff. Like, I mean, those are iconic parts of the Los Tios menu, but I also think like modern diners maybe want a little bit more from their Tex-Mex restaurants. So kind of talk about like finding that balance between keeping it the same for people who've been eating there, you know, for a generation or a couple of generations, but also keeping it approachable for new people.
Yeah. So we as a family grew up eating at Los Tios every Sunday night for our whole childhoods, both of us.
Before we owned it.
And it was funny. So my dad bought it in 2000. And, you know, I guess I was 13 or 14 then. But I just remember always he would come home with these just, they're funny stories now, but they weren't funny at the time, about he would try to update the bathrooms and the hate mail would just come flying in. It was always just like Los Tios had this kind of cult classic following that people were and still are very protective of it, just because, you know, it's played such a large part in a lot of people's lives. So it was, you know, in a weird way, I think my dad got through that first kind of round of updates, and there were four stores back then, four locations. And I think he got it to where he was happy with it, and we just kind of left it alone. And so we opened the San Felipe Los Tios in 2019. And I think our goal on that the whole time was, we're not going in to try to reinvent the wheel. We know and love Los Tios menu and the product. We just, exactly like you said, it's that old school Tex-Mex, divey, just comfort Mexican food that we love and still love. But we wanted to, it was time to kind of turn the page and start writing a fresh chapter. And so we really felt like the kind of facilities, atmosphere, building was where we could make a big impact on that. And so we really tried to push the ball forward in that arena and really sort of left, you know, most of the bulk of the menu alone, but just doing it in a, in an updated space, just that felt a little newer. And we added some menu stuff as well.
It's more about like staying true to what Tex-Mex was to us and to a lot of Houstonians more than any menu thing in particular. Like, we think of Tex-Mex and what we hang our hat on is combination plates, puffy quesos. You know, there's the new, it's not so new anymore, but our dad would talk a lot about fajitas were the fad of the Tex-Mex world for a while. And obviously they're here to stay, but fajitas are not kind of that food of the border, old school Tex-Mex in a lot of people's eyes. So I think for us, we really worked from a branding perspective, in addition to a menu from a menu slant of just making sure that we were really honoring 1970 Tex-Mex and what that entailed, and just being really, really resolute about what we are, but also what we're not. And so I think that's been, you know, just a really big fiber of kind of our ethos at Los Tios.
Yeah, because I think there is that kind of more, like, slightly more luxurious Tex-Mex. El Tiempo is probably the best example of it. And that's not, like, that's not what Los Tios is. Los Tios is that, you know, super family friendly, affordable, comfort. And it's got to be, I don't know, is it sort of tricky? Like, do you kind of look at some of these other restaurants that have opened in the last however many years and think like, oh, well, we could, like, like, we could put filet fajitas on the menu, or we could do, you know, a whole redfish on the half shell or whatever. But like, that's not who you are.
And we run those things. We actually do have redfish on the half shell, believe it or not. And we actually also have filet fajitas at some of our locations. But it's funny because it's just, it's, they're things that we like to add. But again, they're not, I don't think they're what people are bringing people through the door. And we try to be really cognizant of that. And we say a lot around here, like, oh, that feels too slick. Like, we're always trying to not be slick with Los Tios, but alongside staying clean, fresh, and modern. You know, one of our best stores, our Los Tios on Beechnut, flooded really bad during Harvey. So it was really an opportunity to go in and, like, on insurance, gut the space and start over, and we bring it up to kind of the standards of some of our other Los Tios. But we really talked a lot and decided against that. We wanted to build it back to look like it had always looked. And, you know, maybe that entailed a vinyl that looked old and dated here and there. But that was just a really big part of our philosophy of just making sure that we know what we know and we are who we are, and not trying to be too slick along the way.
Yeah. And then I think also another, just across the board, you know, specific on our menus, that, you know, we always try to be mindful that our jobs are not to tell our customers, you know, what great Tex-Mex is or what the menu should be or what they should be eating. It's, you know, we really want it to kind of flow the other way, that our customers tell us, you know, what they like and what they don't like. And, you know, our job is to listen to that. So we pay, you know, close attention to numbers and product mixes and what's moving and what's not. And so when we go in to develop menus, we're listening to the customers and what they want from us instead of the other way around. So, you know, certainly at Los Tios over and over again, they're telling us that, they love that old school Tex-Mex enchiladas, rice and beans deal.
Well, and you know, you're sort of the guardians of Los Tios. And then, you know, last year you added Buffalo Grill to your portfolio, which is another like very well-established, very beloved restaurant brand that has customers who have very firm opinions about what that place is and what it isn't. So what has that been like kind of bringing that into Adair Concepts? And how would you say, you know, it's gone in the first year or so?
Yeah. Again, Buffalo Grill is another concept that we all grew up eating. Just sort of, this is the area of Houston that we were kind of raised in, and we've known the McAleers for a long time. John McAleer, my dad, you know, would often talk about just business in general. So when John was in a position where he was kind of ready to, I think, take the next step in his career, maybe in a different way, again, it just was sort of a natural fit into what we do and what we think Adair Concepts is just kind of established neighborhood community restaurants. And so from a fit into our portfolio, it's been great. We, you know, again, it's like that Los Tios takeover all those years ago. People are very passionate about Buffalo Grill, too. And we've kind of found that a soft hand is better than a heavy one on our changes there.
I'm just like really, really cautious about not changing recipes, but just making sure the ingredients are kind of up to par of current standards. And that's been our big goal there, is just getting as fresh as we can with the same recipes and just making sure that we're doing the best quality product with tried and true old staples.
Yeah, because if you make those pancakes even like one half inch smaller, there would be rioting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's a very fine line. We really, truly have tried to change nothing except for the quality of the ingredients along the way. And we think it's been really well received. We have not received the hate mail that we were bracing for, which has been nice. But again, just, you know, it really kind of, I think it surprised a lot of people that we bought it, but knowing that kind of, again, our ethos as a company has just been to kind of service neighborhoods and do it as well as we can, it fit perfectly into what we want to do and have been trying to do for as long as Nick and I have been around, and well before that with our dad's restaurants.
I mean, is that a concept you're looking to grow, or is it just, you know, you've got the two locations and that's kind of good enough?
I think from a growth standpoint right now, I think that will be sort of our kind of breakfast vehicle that we like from that angle. I think, again, we take these things slowly. Right now, we've got three new projects. That one just got off the ground a few weeks ago, another Los Tios in Fredericksburg. We've got an Adair Kitchen and a Los Tios under construction in San Antonio. And that's pretty heavy-handed year for growth for us. And that'll get us through 2025 for sure. And then looking onward from there, I do think Buffalo Grill has some legs to grow. So we'll see what comes about.
All right. Well, let's talk about kind of growing Los Tios, because I'll tell you that the Culture Map article about y'all opening in Fredericksburg generated a lot of reader interest. So say a little bit about how you became interested in opening in Fredericksburg.
Yeah. I think like big picture wise, we, you know, now have just under 20 restaurants in Houston. We had a conversation amongst Katie and I and my dad a few years ago that, you know, do we want to continue to grow? And the answer was yes. And so we knew that, you know, probably looking at another market was in the cards. And so when looking to do that, you know, naturally, my wife's from San Antonio. we have a little hotel that we bought during COVID in Fredericksburg. My in-laws live in Fredericksburg. So both San Antonio and Fredericksburg are kind of markets that we are not total strangers to. We spend a lot of time in both those places. So Fredericksburg specifically, you know, has been growing like a weed since really COVID, but it's incredible what's all happened there. Just really neat hospitality, hotels popping up. But restaurants, we still felt like we're underserved there. So, you know, in Tex-Mex specifically, we've been looking around for a location there for a few years now. And finally, the right spot came available. We had already sort of committed to doing these two San Antonio projects. So it, again, just from the critical mass of it all, that if we're going to kind of go into a new market, and we sort of consider Fredericksburg and San Antonio similar markets, but it makes sense to do a few concepts there. So the Los Tios, yeah, it was the last of the three on our list, but the first one to get open. And we just wrapped our third week, and it's just been an incredible start. We've really been received well there. I probably took for granted how many Houston people have retired to Fredericksburg. That same thing, grew up on Los Tios, already know us. And we're just getting, it's been a blast listening to kind of people's stories and histories about Los Tios and their experiences. So it's been a really good start. So hopefully it keeps up.
Yeah, because I mean, that's what I was sort of wondering is, do people who maybe don't have a familiarity with the brand, like, is it, you know, is it too old school? But it sounds like people get it, for lack of a better word.
And I feel like there, Katie probably can talk more on this coming from like a creative standpoint, but, you know, vintage and old school and those kind of words are stuff that now people are trying to replicate, maybe even falsely so, that everyone wants to kind of feel old, and especially in the Tex-Mex kind of space. And really our oldness at Los Tios is really turned into an asset. I think, you know, it's a heritage brand now, and we don't have to fake trying to look and feel old. It really is that. And it's got 50 years of kind of tried and true testimony and patina on it in all the right ways.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I think entering a market like Fredericksburg, it was a great first step out of the Houston market for us, for many reasons, but Nick's wife, Alice, being from the area, her family living there, again, we just felt like it's a really similar clientele. So it wasn't kind of starting out of the box brand new. I felt like Alice was both our target market and brand ambassador. So we had a lot of help in that way. And
in Fredericksburg is like, yeah, the fiber of Fredericksburg as a whole is, it's an old Texas historical town. That people like that in Fredericksburg, and it's sort of the ethos of the whole city. And so Los Tios is sort of history and oldness and, you know, 1970s vibe fits really well there.
Yeah. You know, and you guys have made another change recently. You hired a culinary director, Diego Fernandez. You know, not that I've ever thought of your restaurants as not like paying attention to the food or caring about the food, but, you know, this does seem like it's kind of a new step towards, you know, quality and consistency across multiple locations and multiple concepts. So talk a little bit about kind of bringing Diego on and what the motivation was to do that.
It was definitely a big step for us. We have obviously cared about the food from the beginning, but this really was like a step for us that we felt ready to take. Diego was a perfect storm for us. I think that the decision of bringing on a culinary director was something we always, you know, had aspired towards. But with our background kind of as a restaurant group, we always talk about operations being, you know, as big a part of our business as the culinary side. And that's had its challenges over the years in a culinary hire role, because, you know, and I think in a lot of ways those ideas can compete with each other, and when they work well together, they're great. But marrying that creative side of culinary with the numbers side of operations is a huge challenge. And anyway, so we always kind of had our eyes out for the right person, and we feel like we found that in Diego. He has operations experience and a very, very fruitful creative experience. He worked at one of my favorite restaurants in San Francisco, Keen's. He has Michelin restaurant creative style, but also was working with Papa's prior to working with us, and comes at the entire food and beverage program from an operations perspective too. So marrying those ideas has been really important to us. It's already brought about the most successful partnership. I think the food across the board at all of our restaurants is really notched up significantly, even more than I anticipated in the short time he's been with us. And we are very, very excited about what we've done, but also what we have to do in the future with him. I think there's a lot that we could tackle, you know, doing our own bread making and things like that are on the horizon, but really just making sure that our food is as high a standard as we expect it to be at every store we have.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've, you know, sort of focused on Adair Kitchen and Los Tios, but I mean, you guys have a number of other concepts. You know, the one that I think I'm sort of the most curious about is Eloise Nichols, because it's, you know, it's in that kind of premium location near River Oaks District. It kind of started as like a, you know, almost a, like a fine dining kind of vibe. And then it's kind of settled into more of a neighborhood spot. So how do you describe Eloise Nichols these days, and kind of what are your plans for it?
Yeah, I think that's, Eloise Nichols certainly started out as, and I don't know if we were even gunning for this, but a little bit more in the fine dining box. And I think over time, we've just sort of realized, again, what we're good at as a restaurant group is that kind of neighborhood, every night of the week kind of place. And so I think through the years, we've kind of, you know, focused on being more that than anything else there. This October will be 10 years at Eloise Nichols. And so we're really proud of that. It, you know, part of me feels like it's been 10 months and part of me feels like it's been 20 years, but, Eloise has been a lot of fun. It's, I don't know, Katie, what's your take?
I think we've learned a ton from Eloise. I think, I feel like I've learned as much that from Eloise as any project we've ever done. I think that there's kind of the verdict's still out on what its final shape will take. But, you know, certainly bringing Diego on and having more range in terms of what we can do from a culinary perspective will benefit Eloise in the future in whatever form that may be. And we've just been so focused on our expansion over the last few months of the other restaurants that we've just been kind of thankful that we know that we're providing a quality and consistent product there, and letting it kind of be what it is.
And then the one other one I want to ask you about is Betsy's at Evelyn's Park, just because I have friends that live in the area and I know kind of how much people in that community really rely on that restaurant. So just say a little bit about kind of the role that Betsy's plays in that kind of, you know, Bel Air area and kind of how you feel about that restaurant.
Yeah. Betsy's is a challenging restaurant. So for those that don't know, it's located in the middle of Evelyn's Park in a freestanding building that kind of models the old Tees farmhouse, Tees nursery, but the Tees family used to live in a house right there to begin with. Katie and I both grew up right around the block from there. I mean, I drove my bike past there as a, you know, 10-year-old a million times. But so again, it's the same kind of message that we're trying to send everywhere. We want to do right by the people that live in a mile radius of that place. We want it to be a gathering spot. We want it to be a place to have birthday parties and see friends and familiar faces. Betsy's is, you know, it's that I was laughing that it's challenging. You know, it can rain and we can do a few hundred dollars a day in sales. And then the next day can be, you know, a gorgeous day. And we're packed all day long. So from a management standpoint, running and managing that restaurant is sometimes a challenge, but the park's been great. They've put a lot of resources and money into upgrading the
facilities.
Yeah, the facilities in the park. It's a gorgeous park, and we're excited to be a part of it. So again, we like to kind of program that. We have live music on the weekends, and lots of people have parties and events, and we do a lot of catering out of that restaurant. But more than anything, again, it's just a community gathering spot, and we're so thrilled to be a part of it.
It's one of my favorite restaurants in our group. It's just it's a fun place to be. As you said, it's kind of part of the neighborhood, but it's also just a happy place. It's in a park. There's a lot going on. We really enjoy operating it.
Well, I have to say that does bring me to the end of my questions. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you would like to discuss?
No, we're, our two sort of big projects this year are getting these, you know, new restaurants off the ground in these new markets. We're so excited about how Fredericksburg's been received, and we're hopeful that San Antonio is going to go the same way. But at the same time, we don't want to lose sight on just really trying to push the ball forward in Houston. And, you know, our kind of buckets that we look at all of our restaurants through are culinary, service, hospitality, and facilities and atmosphere. And, you know, we're always trying to get better in all of those areas. And we're just super excited about the rest of the year. And
we appreciate the support. We said it earlier, we met you a long time ago.
A very long time ago. It's probably not a story we're telling, but I have such a clear memory of going to a media tasting at the original Adair Kitchen and meeting, being like a very new writer and meeting someone I'd been reading for years who was very unimpressed by me. It was a good ego moment. It was a good, like, keep you humble kind of moment.
Well, that makes three of us that were all pretty young at the time, not quite figuring it all out yet.
All right. Well, before I let you go, we have to play the lightning round. Five easy questions, five short answers. Just say the first thing that comes to mind. Nick, let me start with you. What is your single favorite menu item at any Adair Concepts restaurant?
Breakfast taco, for sure. I know a lot of them.
Katie, how about you?
Enchiladas verdes at Los Tios.
Katie, what is the first band you ever saw in concert?
New Kids on the Block.
Nick, how about you?
Bon Jovi.
Nick, what is your fast food guilty pleasure? It has to come from a restaurant with a drive-thru.
Whataburger number 2.
Katie, how about you?
Whataburger number 7.
All right, Katie, who is your favorite Houston sports figure, past or present?
Craig Biggio.
Nick, how about you?
Oh, that's a good one. If I'm going to do another sport, I'd say Akeem Olajuwon.
And then finally, Nick, what is the new Houston restaurant you haven't been to yet but are dying to try?
I can't wait to go to the new Good Company in River Oaks Shopping Center. I've heard it's great, and I can't wait to get over there.
Katie, how about you?
I've been to Good Company Cantina, so I haven't been to Per Se yet, so I'm excited to go there and give it a try. I hear great things.
Excellent choice. All right, y'all, give me the website, the social media, plug whichever restaurants you want to.
Okay. We are Adair Concepts at adairconcepts.com. And there's a link to all of our individual concepts from that site.
All right. Very good. Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
All right. You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, With Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Go to Wix.com.
A pepperoni pizza for the table.
Thank you.
And may I suggest trying it with our Pepsi Zero Sugar? It has just the right amount of sweetness to complement all that cheesy, saucy goodness, while the carbonation and notes of citrus enhance the flavor profile. Simply divine.
Pepsi Zero Sugar? You've really outdone yourself this time. Pizza deserves Pepsi.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.